We've been going through the book of Acts, and the series has been called Odd Couples. And we have, every week I say, this is the oddest couple yet. Well, this is probably the oddest couple we're going to run into, the Philippian jailer and the demon-possessed young girl. They are very different in very different parts of society, and yet as they experience the power of Christ as delivered through Paul and Silas, there's a similar outcome. I'm going to ask Saul to come and read in Koren and also give a brief synopsis of the sermon so that those for whom English is a second or third language get an idea what's going on today.
Oh freedom over me. I'll no longer be a slave. I've victory o'er the grave. I'm forgiven, I'll go home and be free.
This is the season of Easter. Easter is more than just a day. It is a season of resurrection, celebration of God's victory in this world and our hope of eternal life. It is the victory of life over death, love over fear, light over darkness, and freedom over slavery. And we see this battle in our text today. It is a perfect Easter season text. Paul and Silas, from the darkness of a windowless cell in the deepest part of the jail, bring hope and light to those people around them. The jailer, who is supposed to be guarding them, faces his own battle. A girl with spiritual gifts, but she's become enslaved by both earthly and spiritual masters. She's rescued from that spirit of slavery. In all of these stories, love conquers fear. Life wins over death, light over darkness, and freedom over slavery. For freedom, Christ has set us free, the Apostle Paul said. This is the message and the power of Easter, and it's a matter of life and death, love or fear, light or death, dark, freedom, or slavery. In Burma, there are mountains and jungle, and it's so close to the equator that most every day is about the same length. But unlike Minnesota, where in the evening the light lingers for a long time, it was light till about 9 o'clock last night. There was still light in the sky. But when you're in the jungle in Burma and the sun sets, the lights go out. It's like a curtain that goes down at the end of a show. I visited a refugee camp there last year, and there were electric lights, but outside the glow of those little bulbs, it was pretty dark. And you had to be sure that you were done with your business for the day when evening came, because there was no going outside. You stayed indoors with others. You tended to go to bed earlier. And there are all kinds of noises out there in the darkness. It's like when you go camping. It's in about the night, and about the spirits that are awake and active during the darkest part of the night. In front of many homes, there is a little house. It's about the size of a birdhouse. It'll be supplied with food and water, sometimes even cigarettes, to make the spirits happy. There will be troubles if the spirits are not kept happy in their spirit house. Today, we're going to be talking about dark, light. We're going to be talking about slavery and freedom. We're going to be talking about spirits. Last week, the Apostle Paul was being directed by the Holy Spirit. First, not to go this direction, and then by the Spirit of Jesus, he was forbidden to go this way and that way. We are surrounded by that Holy Spirit. And he even had a vision at night, calling him over, come, be with us in Greece. And this is how he found himself in Philippi. But he was still in the dark there as to how to minister because there was no synagogue. Finally, he came upon Lydia, a powerful, strong businesswoman who received the gospel and also received Paul into her home. We pick up the story as Paul is walking from Lydia's house to the place of prayer. One day as we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had an evil spirit that enabled her to predict the future. And she earned a lot of money for her owners by telling fortunes. She thought, oh, you can be saved. She did this for many days until Paul became so upset that he turned around and said to the spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I order you to come out. And the spirit went out of her in that very moment. When her owners realized that their chances of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them to the authorities at the public square. They brought them before the Roman officials and said, these men are Jews and causing trouble in our city. They are teaching customs that are against our law. We are Roman citizens. We cannot accept these customs or practice them. And the crowd joined and attacked them against Paul and Silas. And then the officials tore their clothes off Paul and Silas and ordered them to be whipped. And after a severe beating, they were thrown into jail, and the jailer was ordered to lock them up tight. Upon receiving this order, the jailer threw them in the inner cell and fastened their feet between heavy blocks of wood. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. What else would you do? Okay. Do you know, they're in an innermost cell. There's absolutely no light. They are sore from this severe beating that they've received, and there's no way for them to get comfortable because their legs are shackled. Even if they could lay down, their beatings and the wounds from the beatings were such that it should have been an awful night. Then they broke into this revival meeting with all kinds of prayer and singing. And then suddenly, there was an earthquake, which shook the prison to its foundations, and at once all the doors fell open, the chains fell off the prisoners. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he thought that the prisoners had all escaped, and so he pulled out his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul shouted at the top of his voice, don't harm yourself. There's a lot of shouting going on. The slave girl, okay, the people that are bringing Paul and Silas into the court. Don't harm yourself, he says. We're all here. The jailer called for a light, rushed in, and fell trembling at the feet of Paul and Silas. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? I have to tell you, I don't know what the jailer knew about Paul and Silas. I don't know how much he'd heard. The public square was not far from the jail, so he may have heard the testimony against them that they were causing trouble and that they had driven out the demon from this slave girl. But I think that the jailer thought, and I can't prove this, but you're free to tell friends that the pastor said this, that what happened was that it was their singing and praying that brought on the earthquake. I say that because of the response. When he comes in to the prison cell, there are Paul and Silas, happy he brought this on. It's like when Jonah was fleeing from God and went in the boat, and then all of a sudden there's a storm, and the sailors all said it must be him. They threw him overboard and the storm stopped. I think that the jailer thought that Paul and Silas, with their singing and praying, had brought on this earthquake. And so he said, what must I do to be saved? What do you have? I need it. They answered, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your family. And then they preached the word of the Lord to him and all the others in the house. And that very hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds, and he and his family were baptized at once. Wow. That's a mini-series. And that just happened in the space of an afternoon and an evening. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It's all about life and death, love and fear, light and dark, freedom and slavery. The Philippian jailer cried out, "What do I need to do to be saved?" In that moment, it was not the prisoners. In the darkness, the jailer was overtaken by that spirit, almost led him to kill himself, so intense, because he understood the rules, that if people escaped on his charge, he would be charged with their sins. He would be charged with the penalty, the punishment that they were to receive. And because they were in the innermost part of the jail, it was the most highly secured area, it was the worst criminals. He knew his life was over as he knew it. And so he says, "What can I do to be saved?" He was looking into the dark, and the dark was threatening. The slave girl was also trapped by a spirit of fear. The poor slave girl was a captive to some spiritual darkness that was not her own choosing or her own doing. An evil spirit had gotten a hold of each of them. For several days in a row, as Paul had been walking to the prayer meeting, this gal had been following them and announcing in a loud voice, everybody has a loud voice this day, "This is the man you should be following." The spirits controlled her. He was verbally harassed. The spirit within her recognized the power in Paul, was speaking through her. "These are servants of the Most High God who proclaim the way of salvation." Over and over again, day after day, this was following back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I found myself asking, didn't the spirit recognize, know that if all this crying out and carrying on might be the spirit's undoing? The behavior continued until Paul, finally irritated enough, stopped, turned, and said to the spirit, "In the name of the Jesus, come out." And immediately the spirit was flushed out of the woman. Perhaps even the spirit was slave to its own habits. The spirit was designed to sense power, and surely it did with Paul and Silas. And what was valuable to the owners about the slave was now gone. The spirit could not help itself. It was only fulfilling its purposes. And I want to add something else here. It was not compassion that inspired Paul in that moment. We usually think when Jesus was approached by people, he always had compassion for them. Paul was ticked off. He wanted her to just stop. Get out of here. Stop bothering us. Go away. Turns to her, "Spirit, come out of her." It's so interesting. I'm glad to know that God uses us even when we are imperfect, when we are irritable. It's a great encouragement for us, irritable and sometimes imperfect followers, 2,000 years later, that Paul is used in a powerful way, even when he's kind of at the end of his rope. The jailer in the dark of the midnight was confined to the inner high security area of the prison. His world would be turned upside down with the earthquake and things were shooken up. He was gripped by fear and he believed his life was over. He was looking into the dark. Paul could see him because he was faced toward the light. And what a great image that is. Looking into the dark, he saw only hopelessness and despair. Looking into the light, Paul saw the power of God at work. I find it interesting that the slave girl and the jailer both experienced Paul as a man of power. The girl had said, "The servant of the Most High God," shouting it out. The jailer saw him as one who could save him, even though only hours before he had seen him barely able to walk, into the jail and thrown into a cell with shackles and wood stocks. He may have also understood that this was part of the earthquake. He knew that there was power. The demon within the woman, girl, knew that there was power. The overheard the prayers and the praise of God? I don't know. So, what does all this have to do with us? There are a lot of movies these days where there is demon possession, and I don't care for any of them. Because we don't need more bad news in the world, we need good news. But in these movies, from what I hear, there are people that are demon possessed and do and have terrible things done to them. It is beyond their control. Modern people, even though we say we don't believe in spirits and demons, listen to these stories and their box office hits. I believe that there's an evil in this world that's more than just the naughty things that we do. There are evil forces at work in this world that need to be addressed. But I believe that it's very rare that a person is possessed by the devil. But I think that it is very common that we are oppressed. The difference between possessed and oppressed. There are times when the evil in this world presses in on us, where we get leaned on pretty heavily by those things that are beyond our control. We feel pressured. We feel trapped. Sometimes it's in the form of darkness, fear of the darkness around us. And the choices that we make are a response to that fear. We feel controlled by powers beyond us. These are powers that draw us away from God and from trusting in God. These powers take the place of God, or try to. They try to rule our lives and begin to control our thinking and our actions. And sometimes it's in subtle ways, small ways. Sometimes we feel much more strongly and powerfully. There are powers at work in us that draw us away from our true selves, from our brothers and sisters, that divide us and make us feel as though we are all alone and worthless, forsaken. And there are often temptations, and before this we feel helpless and sometimes hopeless. Sometimes we cease to see those fellow children of God who are all around us. We use people to satisfy our own needs and make us feel better about ourselves. We participate in this evil and we contribute to the evil. And that's exactly why Jesus came. And that's exactly the message of Easter, because Easter is the season of victory, of life over death, of love over fear, light over darkness, and freedom over slavery. And those things have not gone away in the 2,000 years. They continue to be addressed by the resurrection power that's still afoot, new reality, because there are demons and there are darknesses in this world, and we experience them, and we respond to them in fear and anger, sometimes with greed. We become slaves to old habits, bad attitudes, and evil grudges. It really saddened my heart when I grew old enough to realize that there were people that had been bearing grudges or ill will toward another person for longer than I'd been alive. I thought, what a waste of time. And yet, how often we fall into those patterns. How often do we fall into attitudes that control us? And we can't quite get them out of our minds. The wrong that that person did, the guy that cut us off in traffic, or the person that said those things about us, how could they say those things? And we carry those around with us, and those become our demons. Those become the things that oppress us. Those become the things before which we seem helpless. When we think about these things and realize, we realize the impact of them in our lives. We also realize that there is a power that is beyond us, that is able to come to our aid. We are looking into the darkness. We need to be like Paul and look into the light. The demon and the slave girl come out of her in the name of Jesus Christ, and that is still our refuge. That is still our strength. When we end prayers, we often say, in the name of Jesus. We forget what it means. In the name and power and the grace of Jesus Christ, we pray these things. We have that power in us. We don't control it, but it is the power that enables us to live our lives in freedom. Paul said that the demon come out of her in the name of Jesus. And it's in the name of Christ that we experience that power of life over death, love over fear, light over darkness, and freedom over slavery. The slave girl had said that the men were servants of the Most High God. And that's another clue as to how we are to live in this life. If we are servants of the Most High God, we will be given power, and it will become evident in our lives. If we are serving God, if we are loving others as we love Christ and as Christ has loved us, there is a power unleashed in the world and through us that is a force for good. These are servants of the Most High God. How would you like to be remembered as a servant of the Most High? It's something to rejoice in, that God chooses us and that we are used by God in such an amazing way. The spirit of power was present as Paul and Silas prayed and sang in the depths of that dark cell. That's why we come on Sunday morning, to pray and sing, to worship a big God, to be reminded of that grace, to be wrapped up in that power. May we experience life over death, love over fear, light over darkness, and freedom over slavery as we pray and sing, as we forgive and we serve in our Lord's name. Please pray with me. Loving God, we thank you. We thank you for this story. We thank you for this power that is available to us, and yet so often we turn to our own resources and we fall into old habits, old attitudes, and we find ourselves shackled. We pray that you would come and be the earthquake that breaks those chains, that allows us to live in this new reality, this Easter reality of life over death, of love over fear. Take over us, we pray, O Lord. Let us not turn to these small things or be controlled by things that are unworthy of you, and that it is the forgiveness that you offer us in Jesus Christ that frees us, and the mercy and grace in which we live has its source in your resurrection. We pray all these things in the name and in the power of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.